Hello and welcome and to this edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. That was unlike any day, perhaps, in major championship history. We promised to get the second round of the PGA Championship and what is an absolutely stacked leaderboard that is currently being led by Xander Schauffele through 36 holes. But first, Rex, I want to get your impressions. I want to peel back the curtain. By now, anyone who's listened to this podcast knows exactly what happened around 6 a.m. Friday, just outside the gates of Valhalla Golf Club. What was your day like from start to finish?
I think we both had interesting days, chaotic days, however you want to put it. I did the Dan Patrick show this morning, which is a lot of fun, and I love going on that show. But the last question he asked me is in relation to Scottie Scheffler getting arrested and everything else that happened over the course of today. He goes, have you ever dealt with something like this, something so surreal in your career in golf? And I had to think for a minute, and I said, well, Dan, the last time you had me on the show, I was standing out in front of Isleworth in Orlando talking about Tiger Woods hitting a fire hydrant. So, yeah, I've dealt with some pretty weird stuff over the course of my career. This one's going to be up there in the top two or three for sure. I can't imagine when you and I woke up this morning, I think both of us were pretty stunned. If you would have given me 156 chances, this 156 players in the field at the PGA Championship, and you would have told me that a player showing up at the golf course this morning at 6:15 a.m., got into some sort of altercation with a local police officer and was arrested on four counts, one of those counts being a felony, and you gave me 156 guesses, Scottie Scheffler would have been 156th.
I would definitely agree with you, and we don't mean to make light of the situation at all during this podcast. I want to be very clear about that. Obviously, a man lost his life, and that should never happen at a golf tournament. John Mills died tragically early on Friday morning while reporting to work and was hit by a shuttle bus. Obviously, that was the first concern for not just Scottie Scheffler, but every player in the field. It was always prefaced while talking about Scottie, well, you know, a family is grieving tonight. So we do want to be very, very clear about that. In the conversations, Rex, that I had with players today, it was disbelief that Scottie Scheffler, of all players, would have gotten himself wrapped up into all of this. Will Zalatoris said of the 156 players in the field, he would have been in the bottom five. He did not list who the other four players would have been alongside.
Who could the other four players be?
I honestly don't know. Maybe a couple club pros. You know, I'm not all that well acquainted with some of the club pros, but he said bottom five. Xander Schauffele said that he thought it was a prank. Ricky Fowler said he thought it was a fake. I mean, that was sort of a very similar reaction to what I had. Obviously, when I flipped on ESPN and saw the great reporting by their reporter, Jeff Darlington, I was sure it was simply going to be a misunderstanding. He'd be released and he could continue on with his warm-up ahead of his 10:08 a.m. Eastern time tee time. Instead, it became a whole process. So once the reports come out, once he has been arrested, once he was taken to the station, what happened next for you?
Well, for me, I think woke up about a little after 7, a call from one of our producers who wanted me to get on it immediately. I think both of you and I were scrambling in different directions. You were heading to the golf course, which was probably the right thing to do. You ended up getting caught in the traffic that's almost caused all of this to happen. I actually headed downtown because I figured out that's where Scottie Scheffler had been arrested, and that's where they would take him. That's where the Department of Corrections is for the Louisville Police Department. And I did not get there in time. I was pulling up to the area when we found out that he had been released. He was released at 8:40 a.m. I think he spent about 80 minutes in custody. He was asked tonight how long he had been in there, and he said he lost track of time. And then I started my scramble back to the golf course. You walked with him all day long. I do want to touch with you real quick about I want to hear your thoughts on what was it like on that first tee. Because it seems like it was almost emotional to some point when you realize everything that he went through. And we can sit and talk about, and you're absolutely right, it's a bit trite to talk about a golfer not being able to play in a golf tournament when someone lost their lives, someone lost a father, someone lost a husband. And I think it's important for us to point that out. John Mills lost his life this morning, and that's sad. I mean, even if without the Scottie Scheffler stuff, I think today would have been a surreal day, but if you add that on top, but you were there on the first tee, what was that like?
Yeah. I mean, it was, so you're exactly right. So you go down to the police station. I go to the golf course. We have two very different lanes. I actually think as Golf Channel writers and reporters, we handle this properly. You hard news guy, me scene guy, talking to players on the scene and trying to get a good feel for that. And so, yeah, I was there when Scottie Scheffler pulled up, was dropped off in the Range Rover, and basically had a running clock of what happened after that. And it's pretty interesting to note, Rex, like once you get down into the nitty gritty, where Scottie Scheffler did not have his watch. He did not have his phone. He had no real idea of how far away he was from the golf course, what time he was going to be released. And it wasn't until he saw the Get Up program on ESPN where he started doing some math in his head. There was like a clock in the right-hand corner. Obviously, he's on the breaking news bar with what time his tee time is and what his predicament currently was, that he started to realize, okay, I may have some time here. All of a sudden, the officer knocks on the window and says, hey, let's go. And he scurried to the golf course. He got to the golf course, Rex, about an hour ahead of his rescheduled tee time, headed into the locker room. And that's one of the bits of reporting that I uncovered while talking to Will Zalatoris, was that while this was all unfolding and Scottie was in his holding cell, there was more than a half dozen players who were inside the locker room debating what to do, thinking that they may need to approach PGA of America officials and implore them to do something, delay the second round by a couple of hours, not just because of John Mills passing, not just because the world number one was currently in a holding cell, the traffic backup and some of the players, including Will Zalatoris, who had to walk more than 2 miles to the golf course. Will Zalatoris told me that he left his house at 6:15, didn't get to the property until 8:40, more than a 2-hour journey just to get to the golf course. All of that sequence of events was swirling around. The weather wasn't all that great. Like Will Zalatoris's point and a couple of the players in the locker room's point was, let's just put a pin in this. Let's just push pause. Let's let this whole situation settle itself out. Let's not rush anything. We can still make up time on the weekend. There's going to be plenty of time. The weather's supposed to be better on both Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, that did not come to pass, but I thought it was interesting in those sort of fraught moments, the hour or two before Scottie Scheffler, and there was some uncertainty whether he was even going to make his tee time or whether he might be ultimately disqualified. That's where some of the players' heads were. I mean, it was a surreal, bizarre experience to kind of be reporting at that time.
And this is what I just did this on live from, and to do the reporting side of it. So I'll step in here. It was right around 5 a.m. when, as you pointed out, John Mills, 69-year-old Louisville resident, was crossing the street. It's Shelbyville Road, which is the main thoroughfare, right in front of Quail Hollow. He was struck by a shuttle bus. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Now, that caused police to start an investigation, so they stopped traffic in both directions. Again, it's the only way in and out of Valhalla. And so that forced the PGA of America to delay the start of the second round an hour and 20 minutes already. To your point, I'm just trying to fill in some dots here. According to the police, there's no police report when it comes to these types of things, but according to a statement, there are no charges right now, but there is an investigation ongoing. So to your point, they had already pushed back tee times because of what happened. And because of what happened as a direct result, Scottie Scheffler found himself in a situation with traffic stopped going in both directions. About an hour later, 6:15, he was showing up the golf course to get ready for his second round. And this is kind of the logistics of it, but there's three lanes. There's an eastbound lane, a westbound lane, and then like a middle turning lane. And the way they have it this week is that middle turning lane has turned into kind of an outlet for shuttle buses coming onto the golf course, golfers, caddies, officials. So they kind of have a dedicated lane. So without getting this direct,
they kind of have that lane, but it's not very clearly.
It's not. And that's what Will Zalatoris pointed out. And I think that's a really, really good thing to point out. Like traffic this week has been a bit of a concern. And he voiced that early in the week, apparently, from what I read. So Scottie was thinking in his mind, he didn't know about the crash, that traffic was stopped in both directions. So he was coming from the east. He went into that westbound lane, and that's where he had this interaction with the officer. And look, there's two vastly different stories. When you read the police report, that says one thing. He says that Scottie actually refused, quote unquote, refused to do what police said. And then the police officer was dragged,
however long, suffered injuries, and that's when the arrest came into play. Scotty clearly says it was a big misunderstanding. He didn't go into a lot of details. Clearly, that's for his legal team to clean up. But to Willie's point and to your point, yes, it seems like the PGA of America could have taken a beat. You've already delayed this an hour and 20 minutes. You have a window. This weekend's going to be really good enough weather that you could have figured out a way to make it work. It seems like this was avoidable.
Certainly was avoidable. Ultimately, those players did not approach the PGA and implore them to make a decision.
Well, they didn't have to at that point, yeah.
The second round. He was being released. He got to the golf course again about an hour before his tee time. So he ducked into the clubhouse. He was still wearing his polo and gym shorts. He had arrived at the golf course initially more than roughly 4 hours ahead of his rescheduled tee time. He wanted to get in a workout. He wanted to relax. He wanted to get breakfast. He wanted to go through his typical pre-major round routine. So he was still dressed in all the same clothes, went in there to get a change of clothes, was kind of spotted by a couple of his peers who made sure that he was well. And then he was on his way, got into the practice area about 40 minutes. And so, look, you and I play recreational golf. You know, it's not a huge deal for us if we get 15 or 20 minutes. Scotty Scheffler basically hit balls for 20 minutes. For a PGA Tour player who's preparing for the second round of the PGA Championship, yeah, that was certainly an abbreviated warm-up period. Watching Scotty Scheffler hit all the balls that he did, it did not seem rushed. It did not seem hurried. He was very calm. He was composed. He seemed relieved, Rex, to have it all behind him. You know, he sidled in right between John Rahm and Kyle Morikawa. At one point, Brendan Todd approached him, showed him something funny on his phone. They all had a laugh, and Scotty Scheffler went on and continued to hit balls, hit a couple practice putts, and then went to the tee. Again, was it a traditional warm-up for a man who loves his routine, who kind of preaches, kind of doing the same thing day in and day out, and really locking in on his fundamentals? No, it was certainly not ideal, but I do not think it was a hindrance. And clearly, based on the way he played, it was not a hindrance either. You asked about the fan reception and what it was actually like on the golf course. I'm not sure I've ever seen fans who were so enamored with Scotty Scheffler. I mean, he came basically to a hero's welcome on the 10th tee. And every single fairway that he played was lined with fans. And we saw some crazy things while I was walking around for the better part of 5 hours. We heard people chanting his name. People were screaming F the police. They'd scribbled "Free Scotty" on white t-shirts. One fan was wearing an orange jumpsuit just as Scotty was donning just a few hours earlier. A couple fans, I was particularly impressed by this, Rex, had splashed Scotty's mugshot, which was taken again, I think it's 7:30 roughly, onto a brand new t-shirt. Another one had photoshopped a blue bandana on top of Scotty's tour profile picture. But I mean, the fans absolutely loved him. I've always thought Scotty was a well-liked figure. And, you know, he's a player who I think a lot of people admire for his ball striking excellence and his through the bag consistency. I think a lot of people, kind of beloved him for his benevolence. You know, he's such a humble, gracious character in the game, but I don't think he's ever been immensely popular or even that well known. I mean, keep in mind, the arresting officer had to approach Jeff Darlington, the ESPN reporter, and say, who was that again that I put in the back of the cop car? But to see the reception that Scotty received on Friday was very eye-opening. And I think, you know, for better or worse, obviously this was a worst case scenario for Scotty. I think his reach and his popularity among fans, his appeal just somehow skyrocketed.
All right, I'm going to let you take a breath there. That was a whole lot. And I'm going to strongly, strongly encourage everyone to go to NBCSports.com/golf to check out your story. 2,000 words, 3,000 words, somewhere around that.
2,300 words, yep.
Very, very good story. Broke down the whole day. A lot of what you touched on and a lot more. I'm going to strongly encourage everyone to do that. But you apparently had to get it off your chest. So go ahead and take a deep breath, because I do want to pause here for a minute and point out that before we give Scotty his flowers, and look, it was a really cool day. And the fact he was able to come out, shoot an under par round, stay in contention, I don't want to gloss over that.
He shot 66.
No. That's not what I'm getting at. You're misreading the room here. I just think we need to be a little bit careful here. He was arrested this morning on four charges. One of them is a felony, assault of a police officer. So I think this, if this was any other player, and I don't want to name any other players, we would probably have a vastly different take. And so I just think we need to be very, very careful when it comes to this and let this process play out. I appreciate what he did. And I, too, respect Scottie Scheffler. And I was taken by the idea that the crowd was clearly 100% behind him as not a player, but as a rock star. And I've never seen that before with Scottie Scheffler. However,
that's the point I'm making is that.
These are extenuating circumstances. Yes, I think we need to tiptoe around this a little bit and point out that, again, we've been in this situation before where we wouldn't be throwing flowers at the feet of another player without giving out another player, because these are very serious charges and we need to let the legal process play out however it is. And I'm not saying this is two vastly different sides of the story. Based on what Scotty said in his statement, which wasn't a whole lot, based on what Jeff Darlington did in his reporting, which was firsthand reporting, he was there, he saw pretty much everything unfold, and based on the police report, which paints a very different picture. So I think we need to be very careful and let that process play out.
That's a fine disclaimer. I was merely giving you the sights and sounds from on the ground. And I think it is now inarguable that Scottie Scheffler will be the most popular player on the golf course for the remainder of this PGA championship.
And if he wins,
that's going to be a heck of a story. And we can get to that whenever it is that we get to that. We mentioned the round. I mean, it was a remarkable round of golf, regardless of what had transpired 6 or 7 hours earlier. Shot a 566, improved significantly on the greens. Still had his typically solid ball striking round. It has left him now three shots back of Xander Schauffele heading into the final 36 holes. I guess I wasn't surprised because this is what Scottie Scheffler does. But I also think this is a man who clearly has an innate ability to stay in the moment. You know, Brooks Koepka, we've talked about his ability to kind of flip the switch at major championships. For Scottie Scheffler, it's his ability to flip the switch and focus. You think back to the Players Championship, and he has the neck injury, and he just kind of puts that to the side, really digs in, and wins that golf tournament with what, a Sunday 64, if memory serves, at the Masters. He's able to put aside the distraction and the thoughts of legacy and what it would mean to be a two-time Masters champion, and his wife is just a couple weeks from giving birth, ends up putting that all behind him and wins the Masters running away. Now, we still have 36 holes to go, two rounds to go in this major championship. But the fact that he was able to put this incident behind him, an incident that left him, quote, rattled, that left him, quote, shaking for more than an hour, that said that he needed to stretch in his jail cell, not just to get loose for his upcoming round, but to get his heart rate lower. To be able to put all of that behind him and shoot 66 is a testament to, I think, his athletic genius, which I think is mostly his mental fortitude.
I mean, absolutely. Without canonizing him on this particular front, the idea that he was able to go out and just put that behind him as quickly as he did, and you talk about, I mean, he did touch on the idea that it took him two or three holes to sort of shake off everything that was happening, get into the round, and you're right, get his heart rate down. But even as he warmed up, as I was watching, you're like, he doesn't look like a guy that just walked out of cell block C. I mean, this looks like a guy that's gone through his normal process and he's getting ready for a championship. To your point, if you just take everything that happened over the last 12, 14 hours out of the mix, he's still the world number one. He has still won four of the last five starts. He is still the most dominant player who, when we started the week, we put him in a category by himself. And I don't know, strangely enough, that anything that happened today is changing my mind on that front.
I mean, you have to think eventually all of this will catch up to him. The week that was of being a new father, the mad rush to get to the golf course in time, the practice rounds while dodging some of the weather delays, and now a very scary incident in which he wasn't even sure that he'd be able to play this PGA Championship. You would think, just on a basic human level, that at some point it would catch up to him. He's not going to go out and shoot 75. The golf course is too easy for that. But if he has, I think, one slow day over the weekend, he's not going to win the PGA Championship. I think he needs to continue being three shots back of Xander Schauffele, who's playing the best golf of his life on a very soft golf course, which is expected to get even softer with some showers expected on Saturday. I think Scottie's going to need to shoot, most likely, if he's 9-under right now, I think he needs to probably get close to 20. And so shoot 66, 66 on the weekend. Anything off of that, if there's any sort of hangover from what Friday was, he's not going to win this golf tournament. I think that's just the realistic expectation for this.
Hangover from being in jail? I see what you did there. No, and I will say I think you're going to be closer to the right than I was. I picked 16-under, you picked 20. I think at the rate we're going, I think 20-under is probably a better number. However, I am going to call you out on the idea that you think that this is going to catch up with him.
On a basic human level, it has to.
To the same person who said coming into this week that last week, the birth of his first child had to catch up with him. When you were trying to make some sort of argument that maybe he's not in a category by himself and maybe he was vulnerable and maybe that's what the field was thinking at this point. Clearly, that wasn't the case.
I mean, the only people that can stop Scottie Scheffler apparently is the Louisville Police Department. We will see if that comes to pass.
Are we not doing this serious here? Determined not to do this serious. Okay, very good.
Yeah, we're going to move on to Xander Schauffele. Followed up his opening 62. Again, he became the first player in major championship history to record two 62s in his career. Followed it up with a 3-under 68 on Friday. Now has a one-shot lead over Colin Morikawa. He's up by two over Sahith Theegala and up by three shots over not just Scheffler and Thomas Dietrich, but also big, bad Bryson DeChambeau. Got in at 9-under par, as well as Mark Hubbard. If you're Xander Schauffele, how do you feel, Rex, about your advantage getting trimmed at the PGA Championship, despite what was another solid round of golf at Valhalla?
I'm going to throw our colleague Todd Lewis under the bus as we're getting ready to do live tonight. We were watching the finish of the round, and he was watching Bryson, who hit probably the most mud ball of all mud balls on the last hole. I don't know if you had a chance to watch that. It was a
covered caked.
It was an awful, just terrible. I don't even know how he found the ball. It was just, it wasn't a ball. It was just mud. However, in that moment, he did the same flex that you like to do, where you mumble to yourself, Bryson's winning this thing. And I did what I always do, where I challenged him on it. I'm like, oh, I'll take that bet right now. But to his point, I think Bryson's playing very well. I do like his chances this week because of all the things we've pointed out. This is a bomber's golf course. And I don't know if I'm going to go quite as far as you are. I'm not going to call it easy, but it's not quite the major championship test that we'll find next month at Pinehurst. Let's just put it that way. When it comes to Xander, I was riding home on the bus, and I was reading some of the other stuff that's on some of the other golf websites. And I'm not going to say who it was, but one person actually kind of pointed out, I wasn't in for Xander. I had to get ready for the show.
I was in for Xander.
But all right, so you're better equipped to answer this than I am. But the story that I read made it sound like Xander actually felt like he took a step back today, that he didn't sort of put the pedal down when he needed to, whatever cliche you want to throw out there, that he didn't get it done today. I didn't interpret that this way, like he shot an under par round, he's still right there in the lead. That no, he didn't shoot another 62, but I don't know who expected him to do that.
No, I don't think that's a fair characterization at all. I don't think he was particularly pleased with the way that he ended his round. I think he finished his round with what, 6 or 7 consecutive pars, wasn't able to capitalize on the par 5 finishing hole after once again getting a mud ball and duck hooking it into the tall grass left of the green. But he, to me, sounded way more confident, and he knows he's playing great golf. He knows he had an opportunity last week. He knows he ran into a buzzsaw. He knows that the narrative is out there that with now that he's 3-for-9 with a 54 hole lead, that the narrative is out there that he can't close it. To me, he strikes the pose of a man who's very confident, who probably senses this weekend is going to be different, barring something extraordinary, barring a 62, 63, 64 from one of these pursuers. I think Xander Schauffele feels confident enough that right now the worst he's going to score over the weekend is 69. And if someone goes out and beats him, so be it. But the quality of golf that he is playing right now, top five, both off the tee, top five tee to green, as well as top 10 in putting, that's a pretty lethal combination. I really don't think Xander Schauffele is going anywhere. Two players, Rex, I wanted to touch on quickly as we wrap up this mini podcast. Rory McIlroy, stuck and reversed, shot just an even par 71. He's now seven shots off the lead, and Tiger Woods shoots a miserable 6 over 77 and missed the cut by a mile. Whose Friday performance surprised you more?
Rory's. Like, no offense to Tiger, but did you expect him to do something special? I didn't expect him to do that. I didn't expect him to post that big of a number. But, I mean, it's not even reading his body language anymore. It's just reading what he's actually saying. It's reading the words off the page that are the words coming out of his mouth. It's he clearly can't put the time and effort into what it takes for him to get ready to play PGA Tour golf. I've said this countless times. The idea that back when he was playing his best golf, we used to think he would show up and do these magical things, superhuman things, and then just fly away back home and lay on a beach in South Florida. And in fact, that couldn't be further from the truth. Like, we know now that the time and effort and energy that it took to be Tiger Woods was exhausting, and it probably took a toll on his body that we see right now. He can't do that right now, and we're seeing it week in and week out. The fact he makes the cut at the Masters just shows that institutional knowledge is something very, very special at that particular golf course. He knows how to figure out his way. It doesn't matter how bad he's hitting the golf ball. I can slap my way around there and figure it out. He can't do it at a golf course like this. So it was Rory that surprised me the most. And kind of going, touching on the idea that you just talked about with Scottie Scheffler, that something's going to catch up with him. There's always the, and I tend to agree with you, that there is the cloud that this could catch up with him, because how could it not? He's a human being, and you spent the morning in jail. Like, I get what you were saying. For Rory, he's a human being, and he divorced his wife, and there's a family involved, and there's a child involved. And how can that not catch up with him? You and I talked about it the last couple of days. The body language is different than it was Sunday at Quail Hollow. The way he's sort of carrying himself on the golf course, the words that are coming out of his mouth, all of those things just feel different. So I think he showed up this week flat, and I can understand why.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on the podcast on Thursday night. All, not all that surprise, a very flat round, putted exceedingly poorly. One of the worst on the greens in round two, added up to his 71. I think when you zoom out big picture, though, Rex, this is a phenomenal leaderboard that we have shaken up. I know we've spent the majority of this podcast talking about the Scottie Scheffler incident, and I think for good reason. We have all weekend now to dive into the actual golf. You have Xander leading, Kyle Morikawa, who has bounced back from that disappointment at the Masters. He's back working with his longtime swing coach, Rick Sessinghouse, and is playing that patented fade once again, and putting terrific, as he's done in all two of his major championship victories previously. Sahith Theegala, I think, is a really exciting young player who a lot of fans have gotten behind as well, and don't look too far behind with Victor Hovland, four shots back, as well as defending champion Brooks Koepka, five shots back. What's the biggest storyline you're looking for on Saturday?
I want to see if Scotty can continue. I mean, I tend to agree with you. I kind of took a shot at you, but yeah, I mean, again, he's a human being and he spent the morning in jail. Like, that's a tough combination for anyone. If you and I going to work at the Golf Channel, if that was the case, we'd have a hard time sort of sustaining that momentum. I can't imagine how difficult that's going to be going into the weekend. So I want to see how he reacts to that.
I'm not sure that where that one falls in the editorial manual. I'll have to consult with others on that one. For me, it's Xander Schauffele. He just seems primed. I know I've been saying this on this podcast ever since the 2017 U.S. Open, where I've picked him to win every single major championship he has played, but he's such a complete player. But I love the changes that he's made in his game. I love the way that he's playing right now. I love the fact that he's got a little bit of sass to him. I think he recognizes the outside noise and is determined to change it. I think Saturday's third round is a huge day for him. If he can get some separation, I think it will make his pursuit to glory just that much easier on Sunday. All right. That is going to do it for what was supposed to be a mini pod edition of the Golf Channel Podcast with Rex and Lav. These were extenuating circumstances. This was a special occasion. I hope you guys don't mind that we went a little deeper than expected and are posting this later on Friday night than anticipated as well. Just a reminder, you guys know the drill. mbcsports.com/golf for all the latest news, notes, and updates. Rex has plenty of content on there. I have a behemoth of a story as well on Inside Scottie Scheffler's Friday at the PGA Championship as well. We promise to be back again on Saturday night to recap the third round. Hopefully, it will not be posted as late as this one. In the meantime, enjoy the golf. We'll talk to you guys in 24 hours.